Psalm 92, psalm written by David. All the Jews sung it at least once a year on the second day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. More devout Jews sung it once a week on the Sabbath. In fact, in my Bible, the subtitle is A Psalm or Song for the Sabbath Day. And the most devout Jews sung it every morning and every night. And once I point out the key truth that's in the psalm, you'll understand why those that sang it more often were those that were closer to God and more used of God. My text verse tonight is verse 10, the last part of it, where the Bible says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And tonight I want to do three things. I want to tell you what the Jews, when they anointed somebody, what it meant. I want to tell you why David made the statement, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And then I want to make the application to us today. So the Jews anointed every guest that came into their home. If you were a guest in a Jewish home, you would go into their home, you would take off your shoes, they would wash your feet, and then they would anoint you with oil. And I know some of you are thinking, well, I know you don't even have to tell the first part of the sermon. I know why they anointed the people. I know some people with stinky feet, and if they took their shoes off, I'd pour perfume on them too. But that's not what the Jews did. The Jews did it because there were four things that they associated with anointing a person. The Jews felt, first of all, that if you anointed somebody, that it lifted them up physically. It increased their physical strength. It would be like some of us, not me, but some of you, having your coffee first thing in the morning. That when you have that coffee, it just lifts you up physically and gives you more physical strength. Now, some of us that are more spiritual would say, I'm always after my mom not to drink coffee. I think it's bad for her. I think it keeps her awake at night. And I'm always after her to drink grapefruit juice or orange juice or something like that. But the Jews felt that anointing a person lifted them up physically, gave them strength. Number two, they also felt that when they anointed somebody, it gave them a fresh mind. It renewed their mind. It cleared their mind. Again, some of you, until you get your coffee, it's somebody talking to you in the morning, it's like talking to a fence post. I mean, your mind is not alert. It's not awake. And so you got to have your coffee. Well, the Jews felt that if they anointed you, that your mind would be fresh. Number three, they also felt that it brought a certain amount of pleasure to the person, that it was a refreshing kind of thing. Like when you were a kid and you got real hot and you came in and you asked your mom for a glass of water and you took it out and poured it over your head. It was just a way of refreshing yourself when you were hot. That's how the Jews felt. It was a refreshment to somebody to anoint them. And then when they anointed somebody, it always was a sign that that person was very welcome in their house. I mean, when they anointed that guest that came into their house, it was a way of saying, we are so glad that you are here. You are so welcome in our home. So David said, I want to be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Here's what he was saying. There's three times in the Bible that I find that David was anointed. The first time is in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, where the Bible says, Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Saul had disobeyed God. God had told him to go kill all the Amalekites, destroy everything, all the people, all the animals. And Saul led the Israelite army, and they fought against the Amalekites, and he almost did what God said. They killed just about everything. But Saul said when they came back and Samuel went out to meet him and said, Saul said, I've done everything that God told me to do. And Samuel said then, why do I hear all the bleeding of these animals? God told you to kill everything. And Samuel said, well, we decided to save the best of the animals to sacrifice to God. And Samuel said, Saul, don't you know that obedience is more important to God than sacrifice is? He said, you've messed up. You thought you were doing something good, but disobedience to God is bad. And as a result of that disobedience, God came to Samuel and said, Samuel, I can't have Saul being king anymore. I can't have a person that leads my people that's not obedient to me. I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and I want you to anoint one of his sons to be the next king. And I won't tell you who it was before you go. When you get there, I'll tell you which one it is. And so Samuel went to the house of Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons, and he brought the oldest one before Samuel. Samuel saw that he was tall, good-looking, strong. Samuel said, this must be the one. And God said, no, this ain't the one. Well, God didn't say ain't. He just said, this is not the one. This is not the one. You look on the outside. You see what's on the outside. I look at the inside. I see what's on the inside. This is a good guy. He was in Saul's army. He was there when David fought Goliath. His older brother tried to talk him out of it. But God told Samuel, this is not the one. Brother number 2 came. Brother number 3. Brother number 4. They all came. And God said, he's not here yet. And Samuel said to Jesse, is this all your sons? And Jesse said, well, the youngest, not the youngest. He's out taking care of the sheep. And Jesse said, well, get him. We ain't setting down until he gets here. And they sent, and David came in. And God said, he's the one. He's the one. God could see his heart. Later, God would say about David, this is a man after my own heart. And Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed David before his brothers. The second time David was anointed, we read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4. And the men of Judah came and they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Saul was dead. The nation of Israel, one of Saul's sons had taken over, and the nation of Israel was in confusion. And David, who had been hiding from Saul, he was going to go back to Israel, and he said, God, where should I go? And God told him to go to Hebron. That's where his tribe was, the tribe of Judah. And he went back to Hebron. And his people said, we want you to be our king. We want you to be the king of our tribe. And at that particular time, they anointed David a second time to be the king of Judah. The third time was in 2 Samuel chapter 5, where all of the Israelites came together. Saul's son who had taken over had been killed, he had been beheaded, and all the tribes of Israel came to David and said, David, we want you to be the king over the whole nation. And for the third time, so all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. So when David wrote Psalm 92, and he wrote the words, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, he had already been anointed 3 times. And David looked back to those 3 times that he had been anointed. And here's what he said in his mind. I remember the first time I was anointed. I was just a kid. Here was this prophet of God that came and said, God wants you to be the next king. He said, I knew I didn't know anything about being king. I knew I couldn't be king with my mind, with my strength. I just knew I couldn't be king. And so I said to God at that point, God, if you want me to be king, I need your strength. I need your mind. I need to dwell in your presence and know that I am welcome in your presence all the time. And Lord, I know there's going to be some training, and so I need you to make that training pleasurable to me. And so when Samuel took that horn of oil, like the Jews did to welcome guests in their home, and he poured it over David's head, David said, I want the things that come with anointing. I want the Lord's strength. I want his clarity of mind. I want his pleasure. I want to know that I'm going to be welcome in his presence. When David came to Hebron and his people came out, and anointed him, wanted him to be the king of the tribe of Judah. David said, you've helped me prepare. You've trained me to be the king. Now, God, as they anoint me the second time, I need those four same things. I need your strength. I need your mind. I need to dwell in the pleasure that only you can give. And I need to know that I am welcome in your presence. And anytime I need you, I can come to you. And when they came a couple, three chapters later, and the whole nation of Israel anointed him as king, God, David went to God and said the same thing. I can't do this on my own. I can't do it with my strength. I can't do it with my mind. I can't do it without knowing that I can come into your presence and know that I am welcome there any time that I've come. I've got to have you to do it. Now here's the application. We need that fresh anointing. I mean, David, after he became the king, after he was anointed these three times, he wrote this psalm, and I think he sang it every morning. I need the anointing of God today. I need the anointing of God today. I don't need it. I needed it yesterday, but I need it again today. And we, like David, need that fresh anointing day after day after day after day after day. And you might say, well, what do you mean, preacher? You mean I need to get some olive oil and I need to have somebody pour it on my head? No. The oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. In fact, the first time that David was anointed, you remember what it says? Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord is who we know as the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And what we need every day is not for somebody to take some olive oil and pour over our head and anoint us physically, but we need the anointing every day of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved in. He moved in. He moved into your life. He took up residence in your body. And he takes control of us. Every bit that we will give him, he will take control of us. He never forces his way into any part of our being. He never forces his way into any part of our life. But every door that we open, every part of our life we open, and we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome to come into this part of my life. You are welcome to control this part of my life. The Holy Spirit moves in to that part of our life. And the only way that we can succeed as a Christian and do the things that God wants us to do is to say the same thing that David said, I need to be anointed with fresh oil. I need that refreshment of my mind. I need the strength that the Holy Spirit can give. I need to know that I am welcome in the presence of God. Anytime I need to come, I am welcome in the presence of God. And it's only as I reside in Him that I find pleasure. Now let me give you some examples real quickly. When I preach and I share the gospel and I share the Bible and truths from the Bible, there are times when all of you feel this, feel something that's happening inside of you. I mean, you feel it. You feel that you're in the presence of God. You feel that you are hearing from God. The times that you need to be encouraged and lifted up, you feel that. You feel lifted up. You feel encouraged. I want to tell you tonight, that's not me. That's not me. I can't do that. I can't. But the Holy Spirit of God does. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. I'm preaching. Here's the Holy Spirit. You know, what he's saying is true. It's true. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to know that God loves us? Isn't it good to know that Jesus died for us? Isn't it good to know that he wants everybody to be saved and doesn't want anybody to go to hell? You see, when I preach, it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. It's the Holy Spirit that's moving in your life. I can't do anything in your life. I don't have that power. I don't have that ability. I mean, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be up here at all. I mean, I didn't get saved because I was too shy to walk an aisle. I was afraid to be in front of people. And I am naturally, I mean, if you knew me, you would know I'm an introvert. I'd rather be by myself most of the time than be around people. I could not do what I do without the Holy Spirit's help. And so when I preach and you feel something, it's not me. It's that Holy Spirit. So I have to say, every time before I preach, I need to be anointed with fresh oil. I need your mind. I need your strength. I need to know that I am in your presence. I can't do this by myself. Same thing when somebody sings. Like when somebody sings. And I see people sometimes, you know, they wipe a tear from their eye and they nod their head and they just, you could just know that the Holy Spirit's working on them. You want to know how it works? Here's how it works. When somebody's singing, the Holy Spirit comes over and says, man, isn't that good? Isn't that good that we're reminded how much God cares about us and how he works in our life? And when we have situations that we can't handle, he promises to never leave us or forsake us. See, that's what happened. I mean, we have some good singers and they're wonderful talent, but they on their own cannot make you feel the presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and sits beside us and whispers in our ear and says, oh, that's right, God is here and God is working and God will get you through those trials. Same thing when you go to sit in Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher opens the Word of God and begins to teach it. And some of you sit back there. I can see it in your eyes sometimes. Ah, that's right. That's good. That's right. That's right. It's not the Sunday school teacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God that comes and sits beside you and says, now, hey, now let me help you understand this. Let me open up your mind. Let me help you see that this is the Word of God and it's true. And it'll change your life. It'll make a difference in your life. It's not the Sunday school teacher. We have some good Sunday school teachers, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that does it. You know what? It's the same Spirit of God that works at home. When you as a parent or a grandparent are teaching your children, and you're trying to teach them to do right, and you're trying to teach them to be respectful, and you're trying to teach them to behave. And as a parent, sometimes you feel frustrated, and sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen. And here's how it needs to work. I'll pick on this little guy right back here. You know what? Your daddy, see, he needs it. Your daddy is trying to teach you to do right. Your daddy loves you. bad choice. But when we as parents talk to our kids and try to teach them right, and how sometimes we get frustrated and we wonder if we're getting through, we're making any difference at all. You listen to me. You need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. You need his mind. You need his strength. You need to know that you can come into his presence and beg for his help every time. And that's why, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart. Yes, mom and dad play a role, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that moves on the life of that child to keep them right and to keep them straight. Now, I'm out of time, but listen to me. Listen to me. I need and you need that fresh anointing. We cannot be what God wants us to be in our own strength, with our own mind, without it being in his presence. And we need the Spirit of God. Judy, I was glad you mentioned in your testimony you didn't know how the Holy Spirit worked until you couldn't pray. And your friend told you the Holy Spirit took over for you. Because when we get to those points in our life where we don't know how to pray, when something's such a heavy heartache and we don't even know how to put into words what we want God to do, the Holy Spirit moves in and says, I do. I'll go to God on your behalf, and I'll tell him what you need and ask him for what you need. Now listen, every single one of us, when we go to bed tonight, we ought to say, I need a fresh anointing of that oil. Holy Spirit, I need you. When we get up tomorrow morning and we face the day, we need to say like David, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I don't want to face tomorrow without your mind. I don't want to face tomorrow without your strength. I don't want to face tomorrow without knowing that I am in your presence. And I don't want to face tomorrow without the pleasure that only you can give. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The Holy Spirit lives inside of each one of us. He's the most neglected part of God. We pay attention to God the Father. We pay attention to God the Son. We neglect the Holy Spirit. And yet, He is there with us every moment of every day. I want to be anointed with fresh oil. I want you to be anointed with fresh oil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it teaches us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, tonight that you would give us a fresh anointing, that we could feel your presence. And in that presence, we would feel the strength that only you can give. We would feel the freshness of mind that only you can give. We would feel the presence of God in our life that only you can give. And if we feel those things, the pleasure comes. The pleasure comes. And so I pray tonight that you would give us all a desire to be anointed freshly each day, each day. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that the Holy Spirit would speak to them and help them understand they can't get an anointing. They can't get the Holy Spirit until they get the Savior, until they get Jesus. Help them to see that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, and Christ paid it when he died on the cross for them. Help them to come tonight to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Please bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.